And we had the halving of Bitcoin this week. That means that when new Bitcoin is mined, okay, all the expense, the energy, the time, the resources to create more cryptocurrency, more blockchain ledgers, more Bitcoin, you only get half the coins now for the same amount of effort.
Get ready for a new episode of KP Talks Dollars and Cents. Learn financial literacy and get real-time updates on all things housing, finance, and real estate. So let's get started. Here's your host, Kevin Perenio.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from the Atlantic Ocean. Let's go. There he is. There's the ghost. Paul Rozo, our founder and CEO. You never, ever see him. Robert Holiday, our co-founder and COO. Gary Malice, the man hiding. And all of our 2023 President Cabinet winners here in 2024. Congratulations.
Let's go.
Cheers. Let's go. All right.
Let's talk about the markets.
Okay, what's going on in the markets? The big thing this week, other than earnings reports from all different companies out there, it's like, I think 60 to 70 companies reporting earnings this week. It's a big deal. How are companies doing in this economy? Will it bring the stock market back? And then inflation on Friday, the PCE, the personal consumption expenditure, that's the big report that the Fed wants to see. That's actually the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. It's called the Fed deflator, PCE. So it has a little less weighting on housing. And so we know inflation matters. The cost of money matters. The velocity of money matters. What goes on with our economy and trading between institutional investors and how they decide to spend their dollars, that matters. And so we're going to watch that PCE number. Now, talking about dollars and the velocity of money in our economy, and the last, let's call it 3 weeks, have been pretty tough in the mortgage world. By the way, check out this pool. We're on the we're on a cruise on this Apex Celebrity Cruise. Look at that little heart thingy. I do that to my kids every day. We actually have a little battle where I try and fill up the heart before they do it to me. I know it's a little windy. This thing right here looks like a champagne glass. That's like a hot tub right there. It's the outdoor pool. So anyway, I'll come hide back over here. It's a pretty cool boat. It's like less than 3 years old. This funky ass artwork. It's a big old face. It's a bunch of weird shit like that. Anyway, so the velocity of money matters, right? Like, we buy and sell money in the mortgage business. And so when the 10-year treasury goes up and hits 470, it goes from basically 420 to 470 in the matter of like 3 weeks. Money leaves the stock market and goes to bonds to buy bonds at a higher yield. And what's interesting is we've had this Iran, Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah conflict. You know, Lebanon's involved, and it's just all kinds of stuff going on. Usually the world will bet on the U.S. Treasury as a flight to safety and buy more treasuries, which actually brings treasury yields down, which is better for mortgage interest rates. That didn't happen. Okay, so part of it is like the uncertainty that would come from a potential conflict seems to be somewhat contained. So it has not benefited mortgage rates and brought the 10-year treasury yield down. Sorry, it's very windy. I'm hiding over here away from the wind. So when money leaves the stock market, which we've all seen the stock market kind of get, you know, take a little breather, which is natural. Just like rates going up in a downtrend is natural. You see this velocity of money. You see where money flows. It ebbs and flows, searching for yield, searching for returns. So as we watch the stock market come down, remember, we all just had to pay taxes on Monday and Tuesday this week. So what happens is there are a lot of people the last 45 days that are selling stocks, which the stock market's been at a very big high, using that money and harvesting that money to pay their tax bill that is due, their tax estimates. Even if you file an extension, like we did, the four partners in our S-Corp, you file an extension, you still have to pay your estimated tax. So we got to pay, even if we're not
due on the hook until October when the extension deadline comes. So there's a lot of selling pressure in the stock market. There's a lot of buying, shifting from stocks to safer bets with yields going up in the treasury market, which is an interesting dynamic in an environment where gold is going up. And we had the halving of Bitcoin this week. That means that when new Bitcoin is mined, okay, all the expense, the energy, the time, the resources to create more cryptocurrency, more blockchain ledgers, more Bitcoin, you only get half the coins now for the same amount of effort. So it brings some scarcity into the supply. So like gold, there's a certain amount of tonnage of gold that is mined every year. It's pretty consistent. With Bitcoin, which is digital gold, now half the yields are coming out of your mining efforts. And that is like our housing supply issue. We don't have enough houses for the demand, which is why even last week, the Fannie Mae 12-month through March home price index went up 7.4% with high rates. Existing home sales went down 4% for the month of March. That number was released last week. I think that's a reflection of the higher interest rates we've seen recently, plus the mortgage rate lock-in effect. It's not zero. I mean, everyone you talk to that has a low interest rate from 2020 and 2021, literally, universally, every single person you talk to is like, yeah, I'm not getting that loan. The numbers are in the last year, about 3% of people with a rate under 6% did actually sell. And that's not insignificant. I mean, you talk about trillions and trillions of dollars of mortgages out there, 3% is a big number. So it's not zero, right? People are still selling their house or existing home, even if they have a low rate, because, you know, deployment, diapers, diamonds, debt, divorce, debt again, downsizing, debt, these things still happen. And so they don't care what the rates are. Demand is still strong. Speaking of demand and gold and talking about the velocity of money, there's been a lot of talk, and I talk about a lot, the BRICS Plus. You know, these are the countries that are trying to form an alliance to kind of bring the dollar's dominance, king dollar, down. Okay. Last year, I saw this on Logan Motoshami's Instagram page. 48% of all international transactions, okay? It's like nothing that we see. Everywhere around the world, 48% was in dollar denominations. The highest it's been in over a decade. The dollar is strong. The dollar is still being used in trade and transactions. And a strong dollar is good for us here at home, especially if you're traveling abroad. But it does hurt other economies. And so that is going to get to one of my last points here. A couple last points. The 10-2 treasury yield, the inverted yield curve, okay? The 2-year treasury yield is still higher than the 10-year. That means people are still betting on weakness in the short term versus long term. And so that's usually an a recession indicator. And it's been a recession indicator many, many times. So we have the longest inverted 10-year, 2-year yield curve ever. However, even with elevated 2-year rates around 5% and elevated 10-year yields around 4.7, although have come down to almost 4.5 yesterday, the spread was down to about 30 basis points. It's been as high as a point. So that spread between the 2-year and 10-year is less, even though they're both elevated. So that compression up there is usually a sign of strength in our economy, which means there's less of a chance of market makers out there thinking there'll be a recession. Who knows? We'll see. We'll watch all the data, jobs reports, GDP reports, the flow of money, PCE, all that stuff. Okay, so let me make one last point. So this is not a conspiracy theory, okay? I know a lot of people are in the moment in these inflation reports and jobs reports. Our year, our entire 2024, is just barely 3.5 months old, okay? Please, please, like, the whole year we're not going to see this. The whole year is that. You don't know. You're making bets on the last couple months' data, like 60 days worth of data. Don't extrapolate for the entire year on 60 months' data. Be present.
Take your next shot. Work with what's in front of you. Grind. Make things happen. Serve for success. Help your neighbor. Let's put people in houses. We've got a long year ahead of us. We're way, way far from the end of the year. And we have a lot more data coming out, and things can turn positive very quickly. Yes, it's an election year, and I know the politics plays with your emotions. Don't let it happen. Control what's in front of you and be present. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll get with you later this week. Cheers.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Sint Maarten. We're on the Dutch side. We're in Philipsburg. That's our cruise ship back there, the apex celebrity for our president's cabinet. We have a great group here of about 50 people. There's a lot to talk about today. I didn't do a Monday night video because I was in San Juan, Puerto Rico last night on our first stop. It is 3 p.m. Eastern time, local time here, and we've been in port since 10:30. I've stayed out till 3 a.m. every night because I can't get on I'm on West Coast time. I can't get on this time. So I've just been, staying West Coast. Going to bed at 3:30 is like going to bed at 12:30, which is like nothing. So anyway, lots of fun here. Lots going on, having a lot of one-on-one time, breaking bread with people, and really connecting and finding out what's going on. And we're pretty excited about this market right now. I mean, spring purchase season is here. Things are starting to loosen up. And I want to talk about things loosening up in the market, talk about rates and inflation and opportunity and danger. So you know that I subscribe to a service, Fundstrat Advisors, with Tom Lee. He's on CNBC. He's a Japanese guy that's like absolutely a spot-on analyst on the markets. And he brought up something last week called Kiki, K-I-K-I, so Kiki. It's a combination of two words in Japanese, danger and opportunity. And so what's interesting is there's a lot of danger. Higher rates, higher inflation, higher for longer. How do you react to danger? There's a lot of people's mindset out there literally saying what's going to happen for the rest of this entire year because of clear and present danger. Now, I'm no Harrison Ford, but that was an awesome movie. But danger creates opportunity. So not to get too philosophical, but let's talk about veterans. There is nobody that puts themselves in front of danger more than our armed servicemen, especially in the United States of America. I was in D.C. last week advocating on behalf of the Broker Action Coalition. Then also with the AmeriHome team, had Bob Brooksmith there as well from the NBA. And I learned last week that the veterans entitlement, okay, originators and realtors, you are teaching financial literacy at scale. Okay, you need to know this. Only 1/3 of our veterans know they have a VA entitlement because of their service. Now, think about that. 33% know that they can get a 100% loan, right? So it's pretty crazy. I mean, obviously the terms vary and everyone's entitlement varies, but only 1/3 of vets even know they have it. And then even 13% are the ones using it. Only 13% of veterans use their entitlement. We've got to put our veterans first. We talk about the 7 D's in housing. The first D is deployment. We always put our veterans first, and they don't even know, and nor are they using their veterans entitlement. And right now people are trying to find opportunity. Well, here are people who put themselves in danger, and yes, the market is tough, but reach out, find some veterans, let them know they have entitlement to buy a house. Thought that was a very telling sign. Okay. Inflation has been all the rage this week, and we have a big number coming out on Friday, the personal consumption expenditure, which is, and by the way, I hope you're getting this vibe here, this island vibe. Don't worry, I'm not going to get suckered in any of these gift shops. I'm sure to go to a beach bar and drink Carib. But what I would say is that the personal consumption expenditure is interesting because only about 17.5-17% of that number, the Fed deflator, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, literally this Friday, the Fed, who decides whether to cut rates or not, their preferred inflation gauge is coming out. So this is a massive number coming out Friday morning. Only about 17.5% of that is made up by shelter and housing and all that kind of stuff. Whereas the CPI, which has been coming in hot, has been rattling the markets the last couple reports, has about a 44% component of housing. And so That number has been very high, and we've seen the 10-year treasury go from 4.1 to 4.7 in like 45 days. So 60 basis point move, super rapid, very volatile. Interest rates have went up, but that's based on reports that have a high percentage of housing, and we know that's the stickiest component. So let me just make one point about the CPI and the PCE, and then I'll move on to something else, the Fed and their balance sheet. Did you know that since 1982, the median components inside the CPI report are 2.4%? Do you know what they were in March? March, this March. How you doing, Amy and Bill Johnson, our CFO? Let's go. You're on my LinkedIn video. 1.76%. The median components in the CPI, everything that makes up that data report, which is 44% housing and shelter, is 1.76% now, right now. So think about that. It is housing and auto insurance. And the new rent index that's being used is showing that rents are coming down. Rents are coming down right now. And so if rents are coming down and rates are elevated, more business flows into rental units, which we know there were a lot built in multifamily last couple of years, somewhat overbuilt, which is why in the top 50 major metro cities, it is now cheaper to rent than buy. Now, of course, that could change if rates come down, but rent is coming down, or it's increasing at a slower pace, let's just say that. So PCE, which only puts 17.5% weighting on housing and shelter, is out and on Friday. So let's take a look at that. Okay, so what else is the Fed doing? Remember, the Fed is doing this thing what they call balance sheet runoff, which means they're draining liquidity from the system. We are in a money velocity, economy, and they've been shrinking the money supply. They've been shrinking the liquidity. They've been shrinking the velocity of money. That's why our economy, GDP has gone down, from 4.9% to, I think the latest read was like 2.8%. We're supposed to get a GDP read this week, so I think tomorrow. So that'll be interesting data, obviously, to see if we're growing, what pace we're growing at, the components inside that GDP measure. There's an inflation component inside there, which we'll talk about where they think inflation is in Q1, just in the quarter. We already know that, the last couple quarters, the last 6 months of the Q3 and 4, the inflation component inside the GDP number is at 2%. So that's another big inflation number coming out tomorrow, just like the PMI S&P services flash that came out today that said that services is coming down, services inflation. So it's been 3.5 months, almost 4 months in this year. We have 12 months of 2020. It's a lot of data that can come out. It's a lot of inflation. That's why we're data dependent. That's why the market is so itchy when they see the data and people are quick to jump. But we need a full read. We need to see under the hood and look at all these pieces of data. All this danger creates opportunity. So the Fed is running off their balance sheet, which means they're not buying treasuries, and now they're going to change that tune. So instead of $60 billion in runoff every month, they cut it in half. That means $30 billion will be run off their balance sheet, and if there's any excess of that when treasuries expire, they will buy them back to refund them. That's putting liquidity into the system. That's slowing down their shrinking balance sheet by buying treasuries, and that will drive yields down. They are a big buyer. That's good for mortgage interest rates. Opportunity from this danger. So I'll add one more thing. Let's talk about Tesla and make an analogy to mindset. Okay, think of how you feel about Tesla. It's kind of a lightning rod, right? Doesn't really matter what you feel like. I'm from Texas. I get it. People from Texas don't like California. They think everyone in California is like a bum in San Francisco that shits on the sidewalk. But the reality is, California is a beautiful state. Orange County is amazing. I love it. And Tesla was born and bred there and is very popular there and kind of analogous to Californians. And whether you like Teslas or not, you think EVs, electric vehicles, are dumb. 9% of all auto sales in the U.S. are electric vehicles. And by the way, there's a humongous job creation plant in Texas, Cyber Texas, a cyber plant by Tesla. And so there are trends. Maybe a couple of years ago you thought were dumb, or maybe you think when you fear something or you don't know something or you don't look under the hood of these inflation reports and these numbers and you're fearful because that is your emotional reaction to protect yourself, which is totally self-defensive and totally human. It's the lizard brain. But like my good friend Steve Scanlon, Rewire, said, zoom out. Look at yourself. Use some metacognition. Wow, it's interesting. Why do I think that way? Why did I react that way? This guy in the Prius cut me off. He must hate me in my Tesla. How am I going to react to that? Anyway, let's look out for this data. Cheers.
You've been listening to KP Talks Dollars and Cents, a top-rated show for those who want to learn about the economy and mortgage environment. Tune in each week for more episodes, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kevin Perenio does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through KP Talks Dollars and Cents. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. For more info, follow KP Talks Dollars and Cents on all of our social channels.